Some mitzvahs are more iconic than others. Some are more colorful. Some are more latent in our day-to-day. There are two mitzvahs, one very colorful, one very routine and pedestrian, that are forever linked in Chazal's imagination and our imagination. And these, of course, are the dual mitzvahs of Kibud Av V'Em and Shiluach HaKen. Shiluach HaKen appears in our parsha. There is a unique phenomenon which occurs only twice in the Torah for these two mitzvahs. The Torah rarely mentions schar. Schar is not something the Torah emphasizes. We don't serve our Kadosh Baruch Hu for schar primarily. We're not obsessed with schar. V'hayem shema tishmol mitzvasai. Olam haba isn't mentioned. Torah is presented as a standalone system that's self-justifying, even if there won't be a schar. As Antigonus Ish Socho tried to convince his students, of course they misunderstood him, but his famous line, Al tiyu kevadim hameshamshim esarav al makabel pras, ela kevadim hameshamshim esarav shalom enas lekabel pras. There are two exceptions, Kibud Av V'Em and Shiluach HaKen, each yield, arichos yamim leman yarichon yamecha, al ho'adamam. So because of this phenomenon, why the Torah selects these two to stipulate schar is a different topic, but they are joined in this very strange phenomena. Chazal, in an attempt to dissuade us from being obsessed with schar, link the two. They refer to Kibud Av V'Em as a difficult mitzvah, a mitzvah chamura. They refer to Shiluach HaKen as a mitzvah kala, as a relatively easy mitzvah. It's easy to release a bird. Kibud Av V'Em is the most difficult mitzvah. In fact, Rabbi Yochanan, who was a Yasom, at some point commented that he feels at some level fortunate that he never faced the challenge of Kibud Av V'Em. Kibud Av V'Em is a mitzvah you can't really learn from a sefer. Everything you've learned in your sefer melts in the heat of the moment when you're struggling with the normal struggle, different generations, different people of different ego, and it's hard to submit your ego. So you have to see it in person. I was zocheh to see it in person. Rav Lichtenstein's Kibud Av V'Em was legendary, absolutely legendary, beyond even description. I have to dedicate an entire shiur. So Chazal referred to them as the two poles, the two ends of the spectrum, the easy mitzvah, the difficult mitzvah, the mitzvah that it challenges human identity, the mitzvah that just you dispense with it very quickly on the road, ki kar kan sipor lifonecha. So these are two mitzvahs that are joined, but they're joined and they're contrasted as an easy and a difficult mitzvah. Of course, according to some Deos, Rabbi Meir's Rebbe, Elisha ben Avuya, who later became the first heretic, went off the derech, was stupefied when he saw a child fulfilling the request of his parents by discharging the mother bird and being struck by lightning. And these are the two mitzvahs, or being killed. These are the two mitzvahs that promised Harichos Yamim, and he had performed both, a daily double, and yet he didn't receive, and of course he wasn't able to extend, Elisha ben Avui, extend his vision. Then Laman Yerichun Yamecha doesn't necessarily refer to this world, it refers to other worlds. But in some ways, these two mitzvahs, Kibud Av V'Em and Shiluach HaKen, are linked historically. What do I mean historically? Mitzvahs are actions, they're eternal, they're performances, the Hashem mandates, but they all carry connotations, and certainly the arc of Jewish history and the challenge of Jewish history is captured in these two mitzvahs. The Medrash in Parshas Ki Tetzeh mentions that Shiluach HaKen is a mitzvah that can accelerate Mashiach. Now why does Shiluach HaKen accelerate Mashiach? So in the Medrash, it's because of wordplay, because the word shalech tishalach appears regarding Shiluach HaKen, hence it's called Shiluach HaKen, there's an emphasis on the word shalech. And in the end of Malachi, the end of Ksuvim, the end of Nevi'im, excuse me, our geula, our redemption, is announced as Hine Anochi sholeach lachem es Eliyahu HaNavi. So Hashem sends messengers to redeem us, agents. So the concept of agency, of discharging, of sending, is both thematically and etymologically evocative of Mashiach. Not only that, but this whole interplay between generations, send away the mother before you take the children, the babies, is also reminiscent of the interplay in that famous pasuk of Malachi, which we all know, the Heshiv Lev Avos Halbanim V'Lev Banim Al Avosam. So going to the matter, it doesn't tell us why and provide a mechanism, only that Mashiach is accelerated. The Zohar provides a mechanism. How does Shiluach HaKen mechanically? Why is this mitzvah a Mashiach catalyst in a manner that other mitzvahs are not? So the Zohar speaks about the pain of the mother bird. The mother bird experiences anguish when it's sent away, when it's cast aside. And this mother bird starts chirping, and the birds start expressing their misery and their anguish at their separation from their children. And this constant painful chirping is sensed by a heavenly representative. Every animal species has a sar, has a heavenly representative. And that sar comes and complains to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, why are the birds suffering? The birds suffer not just when they're not sent away, even when they're sent away. In fact, being sent away maybe is more painful for the bird to be discharged from their children. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu reckons, if I'm being asked for rachamim, for birds being separated from their children, what about being separated from my children? So there's a drama of parents being separated from children. There's a drama of distance. Of course, we tend to view Gullus as our being banished. In this case, the mother bird is being banished from her children, from this world, from HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shechina, is regressing or disappearing in this world, at least in an overt and explicit fashion. And this causes HaKadosh Baruch Hu to have mercy and to accelerate the redemption. Now, of course, we believe in Kabbalah, and we believe in heavenly creatures that we can't charge. Just because science can't prove it doesn't mean it doesn't exist. But of course, we also want to try to make sense of this experience, not just in Kabbalistic terms, but in rational terms, because most of us who aren't Mekubalim, in addition to processing sometimes Kabbalah, which we don't understand, we just accept, we also want to make sense of it existentially. So how does the bird imagery capture this process of redemption and this process of trying to return home? So there really are three different images associated with birds that describe our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the desire to reclaim and rebuild that relationship. One, of course, is based on the pasuk in Hazinu, Kinesher Ya'ir Kino Al Goza Lav Yirachet, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, remember, in most cases, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is compared to a father, not to a mother. Here it's a little bit universally sexual. It's both male and female. It doesn't say whether it's a mother. Kinesher Ya'ir Kino. We generally associate that with a mother. But Kinesher Ya'ir Kino talks about the way that a mother protects the baby, the way that a mother awakens the baby, the way that a mother trains the baby to fly independently. And then Ya'ir Kino, it doesn't just awaken the nest of birds for eating, it also trains. We're all hypnotized almost by watching little birds training to fly and little birds training under their mother's or their parents' tutelage. So there's a loyalty and there's a care, which is unique to birds. It's not unique to birds scientifically. Modern science has uncovered many different species that care for their young offspring and many different birds who don't care, but at least experientially, before science uncovered all these details, experientially we associated care for offspring with birds. So there's the care of the offspring that the bird represents, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu cares for us. The second is based on a pasuk in Parshas Yisro, when Hashem promises us to deliver the Torah. He isn't referring to the care and the protection and the training as much as he is to the transcendence and the flight and the altitude and the distance we can cover. That we're going to soar above history and soar above humanity and soar to that mountain of Har Sinai and rise above and be untouchable. And even the eagle can't be accessed by other birds. And of course, we compromised that and we fell to the depths in the Chet HaEgel. The third imagery of a bird, and it's something which Yehuda Levi highlights in his very famous, soulful, wistful Kina, wants to be a bird that can cover distances, that can leave from distant places and return easily and return home. And of course, birds coming from distant places isn't just to return home. In the Tochacha, the second Tochacha, in Parshas Kitavo, next week's Parsha, the invading armies come from a Yisa Alav Hashem Goy Merachok. Hashem will deliver your punishers, those your enemies, from a distant planet. And they're compared to a bird that lands suddenly, that lands out of nowhere, and that persecutes the Jews, and that destroys the Beis HaMikdash. But certainly birds have the capacity for long distance flight. And these are the three imageries that capture our history, our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the desire to redeem that history, whether it's the protection that parent birds deliver to their children, or the elevation that parent birds enable their children with, especially the eagle carries its young in its claws, or on its back, according to the Medrash, and the distance that a bird can travel to return home to its nest, and the loyalty that it can express by traveling at great distances. And that's why the Jewish people are compared in Shir HaShirim to a dove. But what's interesting about this Medrash in Parshas Ki Teitzeh is not just that we're compared to a dove, but Hashem is compared to a mother bird in his relationship with us. So it's not just that an animal is out there suffering agony and some celestial representative in heaven pleads its case and reminds Hashem that he should be more kind to his own offspring, but the whole process of removing a mother and then allowing the mother to return after you've taken the children for whatever needs have been served, that's representative of the return of a parent to the nest and the return of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to our nest, to our Yerushalayim, to our Beis HaMikdash. And that's why Shulach HaKen is always seen as a mitzvah that can accelerate Mashiach. Now, what's fascinating, and I return to what I began with, having said this, this is why, in some ways, Shiluach HaKen is referred to as an easy mitzvah, whereas Kibbutz Avraham is referred to as a difficult mitzvah. The ease and difficulty, respectively, are not just in our own performance, but against the historical backdrop. Kibbutz Avraham is our attempts to obey Hashem. It's our attempts to behave properly. Our attempts to adhere to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's wishes. And that's a difficult mitzvah. It's a difficult mitzvah at a human level. It's a difficult mitzvah constantly adhere to Hashem's, and unfortunately our history has been pockmarked by moments of mutiny and insurrection and misbehavior and dysfunction. But that reunion between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and his people, even though we don't fulfill Kibbutz Avraham, the reunion between mother and baby, between mother and nation, is something that should be easy. It doesn't have to be. Sometimes when we think about Mashiach, we think of a long, arduous, protracted, complicated, especially held back by our sins, and we daven, of course, that our behavior should merit a speedy acceleration, but we also daven that we don't anticipate it being a mitzvah chamura. We don't anticipate it being hard and difficult. We want a mitzvah kala. We want something easy. We want a Kadosh Baruch Hu, as it were, to participate with us in this quick reunion, even though we don't deserve it. So inasmuch as Shiluach HaKen captures or typifies and symbolizes Geula, whether it's the Kabbalistic symbolization of birds crying and the impact it has in heaven, whether it's a rational representation of our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu as young birds being cared for, as those three psukim and those three ideas suggest, both the Pasuk in Hazino, Kinesha Yerikina, the Pasuk in Yisrov, Ases Chamak and Venisharim, and Abihuda Levi's imagery of a bird flying from a great distance to return home, we ask Hashem, please provide us with the geula of Shiluach HaKen, not the geula that's deserved, because we'll always fall short as hard as we try in our kibud avraim of our Father in Heaven, but we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to return the same way that mother bird returns.